is something special for you.
It's time for Cougar Sports on ESPN 960.
This is something special for you.
Here's your host, Ben Criddle.
I think of a little something like this.
Welcome back. Welcome in. Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. This is Cougar Country. I'm Ben Crone. I thought I was speaking. I thought we'd been doing the show for the last 30 minutes and off the air. I apologize.
If you're coming back from that.
Yeah, our off-the-air conference. Welcome in, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. This is Cougar Country. I'm Ben Criddle, broadcasting live from our Wasatch Medical Clinic, wasatchmedicalclinic.com. Stop living with ED. Live without it today at Wasatch Medical Clinic, wasatchmedicalclinic.com. 801-901-8000, 801-901-8000, Wasatch Medical Clinic, wasatchmedicalclinic.com. Got a great show for you, Wednesday edition, hump day edition of Cougar Sports, and it's going to be... lots of news and notes to get into. Big 12 discussions, Pac-12 grant of rights media deal. Also, the coaching clinic that will be occurring tomorrow. We're going to be discussing that and the impact that can make for all the coaches, on all the coaches here in the great state and out of the state of Utah. So keep us locked in on that 960 AM dial. You can stream us from the website, ESPN960sports.com, the TuneIn app, the ESPN 960 app. You can download the app, of course, from the respective app stores. Tell your smart speaker as well, hey, smart speaker, listen to Cougar Sports with Ben Criddle. Hey, smart speaker, listen to the ESPN 960 app. You can download the podcast as well. iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, Google Play Music, iHeartRadio, Spotify. Give us a rating. Give us a review. We appreciate it when you do. If you enjoyed the show, if you're enriched by it, if you like the content, if it gives you something to talk about with your friends and family members, then give us a rating. Give us a review. We appreciate it when you do. Follow us on Twitter at ESPN 960 Sports. Follow me on Twitter at Criddle Benjamin for all my questions and polls of the day coming in hot. And make sure you support our sponsors as well. Give a big Cougar roar to all of our sponsors: Royal Army Brand, Underdog Fantasy, Ortho Pros of Utah, Wasatch Medical Clinic, Dental Pros of Utah, Fat Daddy's Pizza, and many more. Big O Tires and American Fork, shout out to them as well. Got hit up by a former BYU great today saying, Ben, I know you got some deals on tires. Former BYU great quarterback, in fact, in town for a little bit, and needed some new tires. So I hooked him up with Ryan Eldridge over at Big O Tires in American Fork. Make sure you hit him up. He's a big BYU fan. He'll get you the best deal available on your tires and all your mechanical work on your vehicle. All right, why don't we fire up the ESPN 960 starting lineup music so I can introduce you to my co-host and the rest of the star-studded cast will be joining us for this Wednesday hump day edition of Cougar Sports, coming in at 6 foot. 210 pounds. He's a Mike linebacker. He's a leader on and off the field. He's a Daily Heraldian representing the Daily Herald. Let's welcome in Double D, Darnell Dixon. What's up, Double D?
Never been 6 feet in my life.
6 feet tall?
I wish I was.
210 pounds.
You know, Ben, a general musing from a sports writer today I want to give you.
All right, I like musings.
I got an email from, you know, we get tons of emails from people who want to promote a certain guy to do an interview with. In the field, that kind of thing.
Yes.
I got one the other day from a guy. He told me that somebody from Utah County grew up going to school here in Orem.
Yes.
Had just won a bare-knuckle boxing championship in Dubai.
What?
Yeah.
What?
So I set up an interview because I was interested. I'd never done an article on an MMA fighter. I've done one of those, a couple of those.
Yeah.
Never done one on a bare-knuckle boxer. So... talk to that guy today. The story is way bigger than just a guy winning a championship.
Sure it is.
I don't know how to approach this story just because he's found an outlet for his aggression. Got in trouble all the time when he was a kid. Mm-hmm. He told me. Got in fights all the time.
Yes.
Got kicked out of school once. But he's trying to turn his life around to the point where he has some things going on with his family he's trying to organize. Anyway,
yep.
I'm just trying to figure out how to approach this story because I don't think people in Utah County – will understand what he's trying to do as a bare-knuckle boxer fighter. And I was told by the guy from the commission that bare-knuckle boxing is actually not as dangerous as MMA because you get hit with a fist a couple times, you might go down.
You go down
you don't, you don't you get, get con, you don't get continually hit with guys with gloves and kicked in the head you do in MMA.
All the MTBIs, the mild traumatic brain injuries over and over and over again.
So this story will come out in the next couple of weeks because I got to mull on this a little bit, try to figure out the best way to tell the story. because I think it's fascinating. And the guy at the commission told me, you know, every guy who does this bare knuckle boxing basically has a story like this.
I like it.
He was in Dubai. He won a championship in Dubai. Mm. That's craziness.
I love it. Anyway, want some more of
back
it.
To football.
Very excited about it.
Back to spring football.
No, yesterday the big news was this, and I appreciate you bringing that up. I'm a big fan of just MMA and, you know, the martial arts, bare-fisted. You want to get after it. That's a dangerous thing. But as you mentioned, maybe not as dangerous as continually getting pummeled. Even boxing is probably more dangerous at times than even MMA just because of the continuous repetition of blows to the head. Anyway, or you just can just be extremely quick, nimble, fleet of foot like Floyd Mayweather and continue to do it forever because you never get hit. Anyway, I digress. Yesterday, we talked about the new president of Brigham Young University. And Tom Homa went on record and talked a little bit about the new president, Shane Reese. Want to get into that and much, much more in the nitty-gritty. Also, talk some Big 12, Pac-12 discussion, grant of rights media. Does everyone, all eyes are on the Pac-12 right now. Still, March 22nd, we're expecting news come April 1st or early April. It should be coming down the pipeline, whether it's Amazon, Apple, some sort of linear Amazon, Apple type of deal. We don't know yet. Most recently, the Sports Business Journal, New York Post are reporting that Apple is in the lead right now, and you're looking at upwards of 70% streaming possibly. That is ridiculous. They've turned it down, I think. The presidents have. They cannot go all in on streaming. They know that. They're kind of pushed into this corner of if you want the dollar, then you're going to have to go stream. And you're going to have to cross the streams. In fact, you never do that, but you're going to have to do that. And if you want the lower dollar amount, but you want some linear, you're going to have to receive less per school. That's the dilemma. That's the difficulty. Unless Klyavkov somehow pulls a rabbit out of his hat, that's what they're looking at. If they want the 30, then you got to stream and you got to cross the streams. And no one's going to find you. No one's going to see you until they start downloading Apple Plus. Apple TV Plus, because they love Ted Lasso and they love Pac-12 sports. That's what it's going to come down to. Very interesting news. Very interesting indeed. All right, check out the rest of our ESPN 960 starting lineup. We got Gavin Lee on the social. We got Bryce Larson behind the glass. Bryce, you excited for the UVU Cincinnati game tonight?
I'm excited. Tip off at 7. Pre-game's going to be right here on ESPN 960 with myself at 6:40. I did want to say one thing about Darnell's awesome story there about the bare knuckle boxing. Have you this came to my mind. Have you seen the new Dana White slap league that he's putting on where the two dudes step up to the podium and just slap each other?
Yeah. I've seen some highlights from that.
So the winners of that get 10 grand. Are you going to stand at that podium and get slapped for a chance to win 10 grand? Is it worth it?
For 10 grand, sure.
10 grand.
Someone could slap me for 10 grand.
Yeah, there's a lot of controversy.
I'd have to win it.
But. Yeah, you'd have to win. There's a lot of controversy surrounding that right now, and that's kind of what it made me think of. It's kind of funny. If you haven't seen the Slap League, Power Slap, Dana White's league, you should go check it out. It's actually kind of entertaining.
Oh, man, I like it. Lots of the Slap League. I have seen the Slap League every once in a while pull up on Instagram or Facebook or whatever, or sometimes even on Twitter. Very interesting indeed. Not something I'd enjoy, though, to get smacked in the face over and over again. No thank you. All right, check out the rest of our ESPN 960 starting lineup. Max Hall is going to join us at 4:05. We may want to send out a text just to remind our guests that their time is locked in. Max Hall, 4:05. Dick Harmon, 4:30. I had Ken Niumatalolo lined up, okay? But his flight got delayed. He's in the air now. He's not going to be landed until after the show. So, unfortunately, we're going to have to say farewell, adieu, to our Ken Niumatalolo interview. But we do have some Jim Williams, Forbes columnist sound from Sikkim 365 we want to delve into regarding the Pac-12 media rights deal and more. So stay tuned. I may add a guest on the back end as well. Don't miss it. Lots of news and notes to get to. Let's get into the nitty-gritty brought to you by Bucked Up, buckedup.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are pleased to present our dancers with their interpretation of the Nitty Gritty.
So anyways, let's get down to the nitty gritty.
The Nitty Gritty, always brought to you by Bucked Up, BuckedUp.com. Go to BuckedUp.com and peruse the endless aisles of supplements, vitamins, minerals, all of the nutrients your mind, body, and soul need. They're locally owned and operated, which, you know, I'm about that life. I'm locally owned and operating myself at OrthoPros of Utah and Royal Army Brand, a couple of my businesses, local radio. So I want to support local, and you should too with Bucked Up, BuckedUp.com. You can also check out all of their brick and mortar locations. Go to the website, you can check out the most, the closest brick and mortar location to you. Peruse the physical and digital aisles at Bucked Up, BuckedUp.com or one of their, brick and mortar locations. I've been enjoying the two supplements that I like the most are the gummy vitamins and minerals, and then the mixed berry organic greens. They're certified organic, gluten-free, 100% natural, non-GMO. You can shop for it now. High in antioxidants and can support and improve your overall health. I know you're like me and you like to eat the meats and the carbohydrates. Choose organic greens for those phytonutrients and a nice supplement to your diet at BuckedUp.com. Utilize that Criddle20 coupon code as always. Criddle20, Criddle20, Criddle20 for 20% off your order today. What did Tom Homo have to say about the new president? And look, real quick, we talked about this probably a few months ago. We talked about how eventually there would be a new president at the helm of Brigham Young University, and with that, Tom Homo would probably make his victory lap in the Big 12, maybe for a year in the Big 12, and then I feel like the new guard of the athletic department would take over. Who's the next athletic director of Brigham Young University? I don't know. I'd say Chad Lewis is going to be up there. Brian Santiago, you could have a Liz Darger move in that regard too. Like those that are within the athletic department right now, we have seen those hires come from within and individuals upgraded, those that have core competencies and institutional knowledge of Brigham and the workings, comings and goings of the staff and the personnel thus far. You could see also a move like David Almodova, who moves from marketing and directing. He's an associate AD right now. You could see him move into. You could have an outside-the-box type of hire where someone has been a chief executive officer of XYZ company, has been in the business world, maybe the business slash sports world, a Brett Yormark BYU type of hire in that regard. I have a favor. I'd love to see Cameron Jensen get involved. He somehow, maybe as a AD or as an associate AD. Those are the kind of conversations we've been having here at ESPN 960.
I would also mention Peter Pilling, who's the AD at Columbia,
sure,
who was at BYU during the time when Tom, they were all kind of being considered, and Peter ended up at Columbia. He's done a wonderful job with that athletic program and would definitely be a candidate should that come open.
Well, you also have Michael T. Benson, who's, I believe, I think he's the president of Coastal Carolina. I don't know if he'd want to make a move. He's a president professor, Michael T. Benson. I think he's the grandson of Ezra Taft Benson.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he'd want to make a move to BYU as an athletic director, but very well could. He's got a great resume if he really wanted to make that jump. And he loves sports. He loves Coast Carolina has upped their ante in sports. Anyway, there's a lot of outside-the-box hires that you could get into and talk about, but you do have to begin to have that conversation with a new president at the helm. And he's going to evaluate he's going to turn over every rock, leave no stone unturned, and get into all the nooks and crannies within the BYU silos. So this is what Tom Homo had to say about Kevin Worthen, and the former president, or soon-to-be former president, come May 1st, and then also Shane Reese. I'm going to miss BYU president Kevin J. Worthen. He goes on, I had the blessing of learning at his feet for the past 16 years. He is patient, kind, forgiving, faithful, intelligent, giving, thoughtful, obedient, loving, collaborative, and deeply spiritual. Well done. Thank you, President. So what impact has Kevin Worthen had on sports at BYU specifically? I know he's done a lot in the academic field, but we focus on sports here, so we're going to focus on those sports. It was critical to have someone that was competitive and competent to, and I would say even metric-oriented, I think Kevin was, with the help of the athletic department, to put yourself and position yourself as a very attractive prospect and candidate for expansion. to attract either the Pac-12 or the Big 12 to take you, to court you, to pay you for your brand, for your wins, for the fan base. And you needed to have someone that prioritize sports just as much as academics. You needed the jock nerd. You needed the nerd jock hybrid. It was imperative. You need it in that position because you don't want to leave either entity out, and you want to give them every single competitive advantage out there in the world. And we needed someone that had that foresight that we needed to be in a situation in which we had the best brand, the best image, the best fans, and we had the metrics objectively to back it up with our pitch, right? And Navigate Research and these expansion entities that collaborate and consult with the respective conferences also needed that data too in order to make and help make those decisions. But any thoughts on Kevin Worthen's tenure, Double D, before we move on to Shane Reese?
Yeah, I think it's important to note that a president of a university like BYU has to balance, I don't know what to say this, the world and not of the world kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like some conferences, a.k.a. the Pac-12, they are so extreme on one side, they can't recognize when there's a good situation that might benefit them that would pull them away from that extreme end. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm saying this right, but I feel like Kevin Worthen was able to recognize this is what BYU is. This is what it could become in athletics in a Power 5 conference.
Yep.
And recognize there was worth there. Not, well, look at us, we're BYU, look how special we are already.
Sure. Yeah,
that's true, but he was looking forward to this as an opportunity for us to expand ourselves and influence other people and have impact in another area of the country and increase the visibility of our athletic department and of our athletes. So I think Kevin Worthen was terrific in that role. And
yes.
One note I wanted to make about Shane Reese, he's not just a sports fan. He's a sports insider.
Sure.
I mean, look at the kind of stuff that he did with statistics, the fact he was offered a job with the Philadelphia Eagles front office.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's not just, hey, I love to go to games, it's fun, yay team. He understands what goes into an athletic department, what happens to those athletes, what happens in the game, how those things influence. I mean, I feel like they picked somebody who was perfect for BYU moving into the Big 12 because of that reason.
Sure. Because
we saw Cecil Samuelson at football games and basketball games. That's where the swoosh Cecil thing kind of got started, right?
Yep.
And then swoosh Kevin, which I always thought was funny. And on the ESPN broadcasts, when they throw up a graphic, like during a timeout,
yeah.
they have the whoosh Kevin graphic, and then they throw the graphic up they're talking about. I'm thinking, well, BYU fans know what that means, but other people are going, what does whoosh Kevin mean, right? I don't think many fans that just watch college basketball understand what that means.
Sure, sure, sure.
So now we're going to get whoosh Brother Reese or you know, whoosh
Reese.
Shane or what, whoosh Reese, whatever. But I just feel like these guys that have been presidents – have taken themselves seriously, but understand that there's a need to move forward. And I think that paralyzes the Pac-12 and some other conferences because they like the situation that they're in. They think it gives them the prestige that they're always going to have. I think the Pac-12 presidents are losing their grip on that right now as they try to focus on the future and what's happening and navigate what's coming up in college athletics. And I feel like BYU has put themselves in a position with President Worthen and now with Shane Reese, guys that understand what that means in an athletic sense.
Love it. Great breakdown. This is what Tom Holmo had to say about the new president. Congrats to newly selected BYU President Shane Reese. Cougar Nation, President Reese is true blue through and through. He will do a great job in every corner of our campus and will frequently be seen cheering on our beloved Cougs at athletic venues. He'll rep the Y across the world. So, as I've mentioned before, you do need a hybrid of an individual, someone that does truly value both, like I would say, definitive silos, right? It is the academic world with the sports world. Now, I don't know what that pie chart necessarily looks like. This is an academic school. This is probably an 80-20 deal. But for the fans that truly love sports, they do want an increased emphasis on the athletics, and they want W's, and they want to compete at the highest levels, doing it the right way. I think most of us are, when we say that, we want to win, we always want to do it the right way. In fact, I chat with, I think, power brokers within the Cougar Club often, and they really do want those brand ambassadors out there, the flag bearers, to embrace what Brigham is all about, what Brigham Young University is all about, the morals and the academic standards that come with that. So guys like Cody Epps, they celebrate that, especially as a non-LDS African-American young man that had really probably no experience with Latter-day Saints and Brigham Young University before arriving. Now he's an advocate for the school, the state, and the culture, and the faith.
One more thing to mention about Brother Reese. He directed the BYU Committee on Race, Equity, and Belonging, and that's been a key factor in BYU being accepted into a Power 5 conference. The adjustments they've made, along with Liz Darger and Whitney Johnson, who was hired in athletics in that regard, that's also important in moving forward, is somebody who understands what it means for a minority athlete to come to BYU and what that entails. Mm-hmm. And he has that experience as well.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Very excited about this. Shane Reese, if you don't know Shane, he is an avid sports guy. He's been playing hoop in the RB for a while, since he arrived on campus.
I heard
in
he's
2001.
A cherry picker.
Yeah, that's what Paul Saban of Sumer Sports, and formerly over ESPN Analytics and Metrics, that's what he had to say on our show yesterday and on Twitter. No doubt about it. I do want to get to, let's transition a little bit. We're excited about Shane Reese. We discussed it in depth yesterday. I want to make a transition here to probably the topic du jour today, which is all manner of sports content, mainly Pac-12 sports content, and how much value the Pac-12 is bringing to the table right now. So Jim Williams, a Forbes columnist, if you haven't read his article, you need to. He hopped onto Sikkim 365 Radio and was asked this particular question about the Big 12. What have you liked about the way the Big 12 has set themselves up in the latest round of expansion?
Well, there's two things that was done by the Big 12 that was very bright, okay? First off, we have to credit Bowlesby for going out and expanding. And I don't think he gets enough credit for the money shot was BYU. And the reason the money shot was BYU is back in the, remember when the 2010, you know, shift came and we started seeing people move. And then again in 2015, both times I had been involved in some of that. And both times ESPN was telling me, you know, how much BYU was worth. And, you know, BYU is worth, guys, BYU is probably the difference between 27 and 31 in that contract. So BYU alone was probably, they kicked it to the 31, 32 number from, say, 27, 28. So that was good on Bowlesby. Then it was good on Brett, because, see, Brett's deal, when he went in, he didn't have to remake, that was an extension. That wasn't, he didn't have to start from scratch. So the extension was easier to negotiate, because when they went in, remember, they jumped ahead. So he couldn't have gone anywhere else other than to Fox and to ESPN to get that deal done. So he nailed down an extension. So both guys, you know, should be given credit for doing the right thing. Now, what happened with the pack, I have no idea. I mean, I don't know whether it's hubris or what the hell went on over there, but they didn't jump on the expansion time. They kind of let that go by when USC and UCLA left. Then they didn't jump on the situation with the deal with Fox and on ESPN, and if it was reported, somebody, I don't know who reported it, said it was 31, the same deal. I don't know that to be true, but I don't know what they wanted either. So they're, you know, they're where they are. And there are, there's Amazon, there's Apple Plus, and then there's ESPN. And I wrote the story basically saying, look, you've got the presidents out there who are, you know, touting that we've got, you know, tremendous relationships with Apple, with Amazon. We are the birth, you know, we birthed these networks. You know, now they're turning around and you have to say, okay, we're not going to use Apple Plus, even though our people, you know, in brochures are saying that, you know, we've, you know, we are the people who created these things. So you're in a really kind of a bizarre position there too. So it's not, I wouldn't want to hold the hand that George Kiriakos has, because as I said before, regardless of how you look at it, you've got Amazon, you've got Apple TV Plus, you've got ESPN. For all intents and purposes, no matter how good somebody may make this sound, ESPN can only handle so much Pac-12 content before they got to move it to ESPN Plus. So I don't see a way out of this where they end up with 50% or more going linear. I don't know how it works.
There you go. That's Jim Roberts, Forbes columnist, discussing on Sikkim 365 Radio what he's liked about the way the Big 12 has set themselves up in the latest round of expansion. A couple of commentaries here. BYU added tremendous value to this contract. ESPN knows the value of BYU. They have all of the objective metrics. How much money they've made on Brigham Young University as an independent has been a glorious thing for ESPN. And they had a steal of a deal in BYU. They really did. Very few teams can be independent and not only make, you know, good money, which they did, solid money. I would say solid, not good, but solid money. And also create incredible symbiosis for the partner in ESPN. ESPN gave them probably times two their original deal. I'm sure BYU was upwards of $8 to $10 million per year in their new ESPN deal and during independence. And they have to pay a whole lot more now. And they're like, we got you for a deal. And they've been an advocate. I believe they've been an advocate for BYU. They just needed the conferences to come around, the presidents to come around, and maybe even Oklahoma and Texas presidents to move on. At any rate, that was probably the biggest thing, the jump from 27 to 31 million per school that BYU itself, per Jim Williams of Forbes, stated in this particular interview. Anything else stood out to you? Anything of note that you wanted to jump into, Darnell?
Where he mentioned that the Pac-12 didn't move because of hubris. He said he didn't know if that was it. That's it. I think that's the major factor.
Okay. Why is it? Why was there this excessive pride, pompacity of the Pac-12?
Because they're full of themselves, and they feel like they're exclusive and better. And when you talk about BYU and ESPN having this relationship, and ESPN recognizing the value of BYU because they had all of the metrics, a lot of what the Pac-12 presidents are believing in are stuff that you can't measure, right? And if they're losing that ability to hold on to that, they're not recognizing it. They still think that they're in a certain place, but it would indicate that the 3,300 fans who showed up at the Oregon NIT game the other night indicate that there isn't a lot of interest going on. The empty stadiums that show up all the time for Pac-12 football would indicate that there's something that needs to be fixed and changed. And I think that they're slow to move on from that. I mean, newspapers were the same way. Newspapers, when they got the internet going on and they started losing money on their classified ads, they were slow to move to get into a position to change things. And it's difficult when you've been successful for so long to change the way that you were doing business when things change. And I think that that's what they've been caught in.
A couple of notes here. Dennis Dodd just tweeted out, multiple sources continue to tell CBS Sports that Fox is not involved in the Pac-12 deal at this time. So they're going to have to, once again, crawl back to ESPN if they want linear. This is the problem. That initial deal that ESPN gave the Pac-12 of, let's say it's $25 to $28 million per school with ESPN Plus for your Tier 3 stuff. That's no longer there. It's not. It does not exist. Now it's going down to 22. Now it's going down to 20.
The longer you wait, the less money you're going to make, dude. Come on.
So, without any leverage, and I don't know why. Like, I mean, no one knows how to make money off the Pac-12 on a linear platform. They just don't. They're having trouble selling advertising in that space. Why? I keep on having these people reach out to me and say, "You go woke, you go broke." Now, I don't necessarily believe that wholeheartedly, right? I understand the idea behind it. If you prioritize academics and you prioritize sociopolitical and sociocultural issues above sports, then yeah, you're going to have a. It's all about what you prioritize, right? It's about what you focus on. It's what you're passionate about. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't be passionate about those other things, but eventually something's got to give when your entire fan bases or your potential fan bases also are passionate about academics and only passionate about academics and or sociopolitical or sociocultural issues. And they don't give a rat's patoot about sports. Unless you're winning at a high level, and then they're like, oh, well, I want to be a part of that because they're winning. And winning at a very high level, in fact, in order to attract more fans and listeners and consumers, right? But that's the issue. The trajectory is bad. And it's all about what you prioritize, not only as a school, but also what the general population prioritizes in these geographical regions. It just is what it is. It's the culture that is created there. I've said this a ton on the show, but one of the interviews that in the time that BYU was competing at some of these Pac-12 schools that I enjoyed the most was Rich Rodriguez when he was head coach at U of A. And he just talked about the culture of the Pac-12, and he talked about the culture of the fan bases. And football is just another thing that they do, not something that they love and they're passionate about. It's not a part of the community. It's not a part of the culture. It's just not. And he was struggling with that in Tucson in particular because it was a basketball town. But furthermore, the general population just didn't care about football. It wasn't a priority for them. And it wasn't a priority in the Pac-12 as much as he thought it should be. And that's why USC's gone, because it still was a priority for USC. We'll go to break. Coming up next, question of the day, poll of the day. This is Cougar Sports on ESPN 960.
Ready to become a master of the minutiae surrounding Cougar athletics? Well, you've come to the right place. This is Cougar Sports with Ben Kretel right here on ESPN 960. Yeah, you can be the
greatest. You can be the best. Welcome back, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. This is Cougar Country. I'm Ben Kretel, broadcasting live from our Wasatch Medical Clinic, wasatchmedicalclinic.com studio. Stop living with ED. Live without it today at Wasatch Medical Clinic, wasatchmedicalclinic.com. Darnell Dixon by my side, Gavin Lee on the social, Bryce Larson behind the glass. The script bringing us back from the break as our band of the day, always brought to you by RoyalArmyBrand.com. BYU swag, created by fans for fans. Stay loyal to the Royal. Rep the Y the right way. Purchase all your BYU licensed apparel at RoyalArmyBrand.com. Before we get into our question and poll today, I want to welcome in Mark of Wasatch Medical Clinic, WasatchMedicalClinic.com, to give us the script for our ED needs. Tell us, Mark, what do we need to get done?
You need to come to Wasatch Medical Clinic, guys. If you are dealing with ED, in most cases, you're dealing with a lack of blood flow in that area. Wasatch Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment. It is called acoustic wave therapy. It actually treats the root cause of ED. And the way it does this, guys, we have a small device which is placed on top of the skin. That device will deliver gentle pressure waves to the blood vessels below, helps to repair those blood vessels, opening them up, and that gives you good quality blood flow where and when you need it the most. This allows that natural spontaneity to return as well.
Mark, what type of deals do you have for our listeners that are maybe struggling with making the move? They need a little push, a little incentive.
Yeah, well, so here's the best thing you can do, guys. Give us a call at Wasatch Medical Clinic. Call us today. We will set you up with that initial exam, the assessment, the blood flow ultrasound with our doctor at no cost. You come in, you have all that done. Our doctor will be able to let you know whether blood flow is your issue. And then you decide whether you want to move forward with treatments or not. And in addition, just for coming in, you will also get a gift, which can provide rapid results for those intimate moments. But, guys, you really need to call today to take advantage of this offer. The number, 801-901-8000, 801-901-8000.
Call them today, 801-901-8000. Thanks so much, Mark. Appreciate you hopping on today.
Thank you, Ben.
Yes, sir. Mark, Wasatch Medical Clinic, wasatchmedicalclinic.com. If you were to diagnose where the Pac-12 is right now, what they're suffering from, how would you diagnose it? Like, what would you say? Like, from all the reports, okay, my question of the day is, what is it, like, why hasn't a deal been executed? What are they suffering from? What is the ordeal? Give me your diagnosis here, Dr. Darnell Dixon.
I would say it's difficult to read the tea leaves of the future of college sports. You can look at it and say, you know, in 5 years it'll be like this, in 10 years it'll be like this. Because when you're signing a contract for broadcast rights, that's kind of what you're doing, is you're saying, okay, I'm going to sign for this amount, and then in 5 years we're going to renegotiate, and we're hoping it's here. I think that maybe the Pac-12 was not as prepared as maybe the Big 12 in facing those realities and recognizing those realities, and that has to do with leadership. That has to do with the presidents, who are firmly entrenched in their jobs, and admittedly, they're dealing with more than just athletics in their jobs. So the expertise level that's needed was clearly, I think, on the Pac or the Big 12 side than it has been with the Pac-12. That's my sports writer living in Orem, Utah evaluation of things.
Okay. So what can be done? What is the pitch? What is the sale right now if you're George Kliavkov? That's the question I have.
Depending on how much they end up streaming, I mean, streaming's in a very delicate place right now, because at first it was everybody's getting involved in streaming and everybody's doing it and everybody's making tons of money. It's not as lucrative as it once was. Mm-hmm. Disney Plus is a mess right now because they've made such a... And this is a whole other topic for a different kind of show, but they've made a mess of the Star Wars trilogy. They've made a mess out of all the Star Wars shows they've tried to create. They've made a mess of all the other superhero shows that they've gone woke with on some of those, and people aren't really happy with that. So I feel like, again, most of it for me depends on how much they're willing to stream. Mm-hmm. And again, looking down the road, what does that look like in 5 years? What do streaming services look like in 5 years? If you jump on Apple Plus, who is fairly new to this process, right? It's only been a couple of years that Apple's even had a streaming service. Where does it go? And if you commit to that without the linear broadcast strength and anchor that you need, where do you end up in 5 years? And predicting that is just really difficult to do right now. The Big 12 felt comfortable enough with ESPN and Fox as their anchor in linear broadcast rights that they're willing to stream their third-tier rights or ESPN Plus, which is streaming, but that seems to be pretty solid, right? That seems to be pretty good. So their balance of what they've decided to take on seems to have a really good base to it, whereas the Pac-12 right now is not quite there in what they want to be the base of their product. They don't want the largest base of their product to be streaming. But they're running out of options right now. So how do you fix it? I don't know. I mean, you've got to jump in and make a decision and get things going, and then you got to promote your product to the point where you have fuller stadiums and you have more interest level. You talked about the culture of the West and some, how that influences students, how they attend the games, how the people who live in those communities go to the games. You're also talking about the West Coast, which is on a time zone where a 7 o'clock start, there is a 10 o'clock start on the East Coast, where the bulk of the people in the United States live. Majority-wise, numbers-wise, there's more people live on the East Coast than the West Coast. There just is. So they're dealing with a lot of different things that influence what kind of ratings they can produce and what kind of interest level they can produce with their product.
Last week, Taylor Randall, president of the University of Utah, hopped onto ESPN 700, our sister station, chatted with Bill Riley. University of Utah president Taylor Randall spoke, you know, like I said, was it this week? Was it on Monday of this week or was it last week? I believe it was, I think it may have been earlier this week. Here's what you need to know. Randall said there is solidarity between presidents in the conference. He added, we've still got a ways to go on the media deal, but said he is encouraged by what he's heard from Commissioner George Kliavkov's office. Randall is the third Four Corners School president to speak out and express solidarity with the league recently, joining Arizona's and Arizona State's president this last week. So what are you buying and what are you selling here? Are you buying that these Four Corner schools, which, you know, we leave out poor New Mexico, you know, I guess they're not a part of the Pac-12, the Three Corner schools, are you buying that they are standing in solidarity, that they are happy with the projection that they're getting? ASU's president stated that, and I believe their athletic director did discuss with local media that the initial projections, although not what they necessarily wanted, were good enough to keep the conference together. That's been reported. Okay. And maybe that's enough to keep everyone together, happy for the time being before the next negotiation begins 5 to 7 years down the road. But there are still question marks galore surrounding the actual media deal. Most recently, the New York Post, Andrew Marchand, stated that they turned down a deal. Okay, the Pac-12 presidents turned down a deal because it was a majority streaming, up to upwards of 70% streaming. So they are in this situation. It is not dire. They are not going broke, okay? Making $20 to $30 million per year per school is not going broke, guys. Are you behind the SEC?
Depends on how much you're spending.
True.
With NIL, well,
that well, money. They're not spending it.
I know, but the money that would be coming into the athletic department, some of it's being
but
diverted.
It's not going broke. You just have to you can't spend as aggressively.
Right.
But it's not like you're going broke. I mean, BYU's been, look at what BYU's been doing with their budget. And now the U.S. Department of Education number just came out, and BYU had a pretty good year, by the way. And that has to do with the ESPN deal probably that they got in the, you know, the second go-around in those renegotiations with ESPN. So I think they were upwards of like 85 million total revenue in the athletic department. That's really good. That's 10 million more than I think what they've made at their peak prior to that. So they're making money. They're doing good. So you look at what BYU's been able to accomplish and the amount of wins that they've gotten across Olympic sports and the Lear Cup, but also in their marquee sports in basketball and football. And I mean, other schools can probably spend less and still compete well enough. You'd imagine. Now, BYU's,
are you talking about specific schools going broke or a conference as a whole?
I would say the Pac-12 conference as a whole, and you know, I mean, within that, I mean, it's your team, right? It's the teams that comprise that conference. So I kind of lump them all together, right? I don't think the Pac-12 is going to go broke here. You don't go broke with that amount of money. Unless you're just overspending, and that's been their issue. It has been. They've overspent. Maybe they're getting into debt. You look at Cal, they're in debt up to their eyeballs. Maybe
I was going to say, with UCLA, they posted a $62.5 million athletic department debt in 2022. So when you look at specific schools, you could say, maybe some of them they need more money to run their their athletic department budget. But yeah.
Well, in that it goes back to my poll of the day, right? Agree or disagree with the recent adage I've seen making the rounds regarding Pac-12, its geography and consumer demographics, go woke, go broke. A lot of people are saying they agree with the adage. I wouldn't say I necessarily agree with the adage. I think they've overspent on athletics more often than not. When your demographic maybe doesn't want athletics, they want other things. I would say Cal has tried to keep up, and they haven't been able to keep up. And maybe they haven't been good stewards of the money that they've been allocated with their TV rights and their media deals. So are they going broke because of their socio-political, socio-cultural views? I think there is a part of that. I don't think it's the entire piece of the pie. Typically, the pie chart of accountability is spliced. It's not just one thing. Yes, you may prioritize certain things more so than sports, but they were still allocating a hefty sum to athletics. All of these universities have, because they realize it's a marketing arm of their university. They do attract certain individuals and demographics to their school due to athletics. They realize there's a benefit to it. But what I would also say that's a part of that pie chart of accountability is just plain old geography, and it doesn't even have to do with anything with culture. It just has to do with population, and ultimately the geography. We're getting up in the morning on the West Coast at 7 a.m. and we're eating breakfast and we're watching athletic games on Saturdays. That's what we do, right? What are you doing at 10 p.m. at night on the East Coast?
Going to bed.
Either going to bed or
going out.
Or going out and doing maybe something a little bit more social, not necessarily watching sports at night because you've already watched all the sports that you maybe care about on the East Coast and in these other geographies. Maybe you've seen all the games that you really want to see. There could be a late night game a la USC versus UW or Oregon that you stay up for and you may watch that. But the majority are not staying up that late because they've moved on to other things in their day. I'd say that also is a big piece of the pie. We'll go to break. Coming up next, chime in on our question of the day, poll of the day. We'll talk about stats on the other side. This is Cougar Sports, ESPN 960.
According to my calculations.
Come on.
Let's talk about stats, baby.
Welcome back, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. This is Cougar Country. I'm Ben Crittle, broadcasting live from our Wasatch Medical Clinic, wasatchmedicalclinic.com studios. Let's talk about stats. How about the stats of Underdog Fantasy, Underdog Fantasy Sports? Darnell, have you gotten involved with Underdog Fantasy yet? Don't tell me no. Tell me yes.
I'll tell you yes.
That's right. And why have you gotten involved? It's because it's the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also the fastest growing. Why is it the fastest growing? Well, March Madness is here, so you can get in on all the action, the pick'em action. It's the fastest way to get in on all the action. If your bracket's busted after that first weekend of the NCAA tournament, you can still get in on that Underdog Fantasy action, the college pick'em route. Go the college pick'em route. Get on that tab on the Underdog Fantasy website or app. Pick whether your players will have that higher or lower stat total in their upcoming tournament matchups. I've been doing it is I pick a team, I pick a player that I know pretty well. It's the familiarity, it's the proximity, it's the ability to know exactly how consistently they perform. Then I pick that higher or lower stat total. And I win games. I win money. I win the pick'ems. So you can win up to 20 times your money on a single game. And so sign up today with that promo code ESPN960. Get your first deposit doubled up to $100. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with my promo code ESPN960 to get your first deposit doubled up to $100. You got to be 18 or older, present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms may apply. concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700, 1-800-522-4700, or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Before we get into the stats of the day, let's get into the stats of ED with my guy Mark of Wasatch Medical Clinic, wasatchmedicalclinic.com. Mark, who's suffering? How many people are suffering from ED right now?
Well, guys starting in their 20s all the way up to their early hundreds, the official stats say 52% of men over the age of 50, and that prevalence is also increasing in men in their 40s. Now, those are the official stats, but if you think about it, guys don't like to talk about this. I bet you there are a lot more guys out there because guys don't talk about it and they don't report it. So, and guys, what you have to realize is ED, this is a blood flow issue in most cases. It's not going to get better on its own. Clinic has a breakthrough treatment. It is called acoustic wave therapy. We help to repair those blood vessels, giving you an increase in blood flow where and when you need it the most. We do it without pain, without downtime, and without side effects.
How many people, what's the number look like, the stats look like for those that find efficacy with the treatment?
80%. And now keep in mind that that's what we see out of our clinic. Some of those guys are more severe. Some of those guys are harder to treat, including guys with diabetes and maybe some heart disease or high cholesterol. So, yeah, it's a very good, I'd love to say 100%, but that's just not the real world. 80% is a really good number, though.
That is, I mean, not all pulsed wave, not all clinics are created equal. Wasatch Medical Clinic is elite. They are the best in the business. They've been around the longest, too, and they implement the best modalities in the business. Call them today, 801-901-8000, 801-901-8000, Wasatch Medical Clinic, wasatchmedicalclinic.com. Thanks so much, Mark.
Thank you, Ben. I appreciate it.
So, you buy and you're selling what Taylor Randall is selling. Solidarity between the presidents and the conference. Solidarity between the Four Corner School. The stat of the day, Four Corners. How many of these are actually standing in solidarity? I think we all have picked Arizona as the domino, right? That's the number one priority right now. Arizona, U of A, they want to get out. They're a basketball school. They would love to be a part of the Big 12, even though they were one and done in the NCAA tournament. They would love, 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 continue to love to get extra cash when the bifurcation of TV, grant of rights, media deals is spliced between football and basketball. They want to get in on that action. It's very attractive, I think, for them. They're waiting for the deal, the numbers to be given. And I'm sure there's already been numbers given, but they didn't like the deal. They turned it down. So where are we at in the whole rigmarole? It's getting complicated. It's getting dicey, says New York Post columnist, reporter Andrew Marchand, right, from his podcast. He tweeted this out just a little bit ago. I want to play it for Cougar Nation. He states things are getting a bit dicey. Andrew, tell us why.
With a deal with the Pac-12. Amazon's interested, but only at their number. And I'm not getting the feeling that something's imminent with them. Apple is someone we've mentioned. I wrote a story a couple weeks ago as a possibility. It does sort of seem to fit into what they want to do. You know, they like to take their time. Is it possible that they could have a secret deal and it's coming out soon? I guess that's possible. There's no indication. I'm not saying that. I think they take forever. They took forever with the NFL, so I don't think they're going to jump for the Pac-12. But I will say that if you talk about the money where they possibly could get it, I'd say Apple is the place that would have the maybe be willing to pay the money, but it'd be they definitely would want all in. Everything on the Pac-12 would go to Apple. I'm not saying that's happening, but if it's not any of those three, I'm not sure where they're going. It's a dicey situation for the Pac-12.
There's no one left. Who's left? Ion Sports?
What is BYU TV?
Yeah, BYU TV is not going to pay the amount of money they want to get paid. No. But if you want.
Coverage,
we got you. We'd love to partner with the Pac-12 and distribute your sports content. We have some great, talented broadcasters. You know, they're waiting and willing and ready to cover your teams. Sure. Why not? Look, multiple sports sources have continued to tell CBS Sports that Fox is not involved in the Pac-12 this time. Now, could they come in on the back end? Sure. They could come in on the back end, but they haven't come to the table yet. They denied the biggest indictment has been from the beginning that your business partner for the last 13 years wants nothing, very little to do with you. Okay? So if I've done business with someone for 13 years and that contract is up and I say I don't even want to bid on it, that tells you everything you need to know about that relationship and how one-sided it was, how difficult it was for Fox to sell advertisements on their platform. Difficult. No one wanted to buy it for whatever reason. Corporate America said nay, don't want it, don't need it. I don't like those demographics. Well, what the Pac-12 is going to say in these negotiations is they're going to say, well, Fox, you're not good at your job. Obviously, these numbers are good enough for you to get a return on investment for your corporate sponsors, right? Why can't you go out and sell it? The numbers are there. All the objective data is there. Well, it's trending in the wrong direction, yes. And you lost USC and UCLA, yes. But there's still some marquee brands here. Why can't you sell it? That's the situation that the Pac-12 is in right now. And that's what they're pitching. Fox still wants nothing to do with it. ESPN is ready and willing to pounce on a low-ball offer if the Pac-12 presidents actually want to be seen on Saturday. Do you want your team to be seen on Saturday or not? If you go the streaming route, what's going to happen? No one's going to even know you exist. Remember when Coach Peterson, former UW coach, was complaining about how no one watches Pac-12 football? Do you remember this? It was like 2015. Coach Peterson, he was at the time leading the Dogs, okay, they were like a top 10 team. I think he was well on his way to a college football playoff berth. No one watches the Pac-12. I'm pulling up the quotes right now. I'll have them for you on the other side, and then we're going to welcome in our first guest to the show. Okay, we're going to welcome in Max Hall, 405, former BYU great, the backup quarterback to Team Royal alongside Ty Detmer. We'll get a scouting report on his team, what he's been working on, how many throws a day Ty Detmer and Max have been getting in, all that and more coming up next here on the Cougar Sports Insider Radio Network, ESPN 960.